I had it quite some time, though.
We're on to Miami. All right,
they're dead. Bill, do you guys know what the Rizzuto show is downtown?
They're
throwing eggs.
They
throwing eggs
show.
At, I know, but they're throwing eggs at each other or something.
Why?
I don't know.
They're throwing eggs at each other?
Yeah.
Why?
Or maybe having somebody throw eggs at them?
Well, you know, this is ringing a bell, actually. They're getting punished. They're getting punished.
Oh, so they're having people throw eggs at them for punishment?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that sounds right.
Maybe we should go down there and ruin their show. Like Rizzuto ruined our show.
He did just jump in on our show.
He did.
When we were down there.
Yeah.
The only problem is that we're doing a show currently.
Yeah.
We don't have a bullhorn either.
We don't have a bullhorn. We just got a text that says it's their egg execution, apparently.
So each
one of them gets hit by 100 eggs.
Okay, why?
Because they probably lost a challenge.
Was it real or fake or something, maybe?
No, we do real or fake.
Yeah, I know. They ripped it off from us.
Right.
So I don't know. But they're apparently downtown. Honestly, if we weren't doing a show right now, I do think that would be really fun to go down there and just screw with them like they screwed with us. And especially in an execution. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but I used to get paid for throwing objects in certain spots. Now, I'm not saying it went great all the time, but I'm saying I could hit these people with an egg.
Is that right?
It is right.
Why don't you go do it?
Yeah. What do you mean go do it? We got an hour and a half
it's
left
fine.
On the show.
Why don't you and I got it?
Yeah, go ahead and go.
Go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if he's going to show up to our broadcast with a bleeping bullhorn,
yeah,
and we're not going to use a former major league pitcher to throw eggs at these eggheads, then what are we doing?
And we would have an excuse, you and I, Anthony, for not being there because we are still working, unlike Riz's teammates who didn't
exactly.
show up to defend him. So
all I keep hearing from everybody else, including our own morning show, is how the Rizzuto show goes to great lengths to win things.
Huh.
Well, why wouldn't we send somebody from our own show right to hell now?
Look, I am
to go down there
BT,
and ruin their little event.
I haven't cleaned
I'm
this.
I'm coming for you.
Oh,
that's what
lame.
That's what he said.
He said he was going to burn down my house, actually.
Correct.
You know what, guys? I'm going to go. I'm going to go stop by the store. I'm going to pick up my own eggs.
Okay.
And I'm going to hit them with eggs. Is that okay?
While you stop by, make sure you get a Milky Way Midnight Dark.
I'll pick you up one.
Thank you.
For tomorrow.
Get out of here.
I'll call you guys later.
All right.
I'll see ya.
All right, so BT's going to go down there.
Screw those guys.
This is going to be fun.
Is he really?
Is this happening?
Yeah, I think he is leaving.
He's grabbing
his bag. Are you for sure leaving?
Yeah, I mean, you guys said I could go, right? And downtown's halfway home for me, you know?
All right, well, I guess he's going to go down there.
Look, okay. Hey, who do you meet? I got your back because Patrico bullied you.
Thank you.
I will hit Patrico. Who do you want me to hit for you, Anthony?
Riz. Square
I'm
in the
hitting
face.
Riz. Can Riz burned down my house.
Little light one.
Let's see here.
I'm not going to tap him in the nuts. I'll hit him with an egg.
In the nuts?
Fine.
Deal.
Done. You know what? I'll hit Riz twice.
Thank you.
Roger,
that'll be great.
Do you want?
You know what? Go ahead and hit Riz a third time
right,
for me.
All right, we'll
would
get
you?
Riz.
Nice.
And then I'll sprinkle one on, you know, Burton and Moon.
Yeah.
They're
oh,
really
no.
Nice you know
guys.
What? I take it back. Burton still left a half full coffee mug on my desk.
There you go.
You go ahead and actually take that
well?
Mug with you.
And you know what? Go ahead, sorry, Roger.
I was
going to
say,
so
take
passionate.
The mug with you and then throw that at him, too.
And get Moon for me, because we've been saying all nice things about Moon, and he has not said one nice thing about us.
Okay.
We've given him 400 compliments, and Moon has not said one nice thing back to us. So you hit him right in the beanbag.
Another question,
yeah.
Real quick, before I go to the store, because apparently this is happening soon. Should I buy hard-boiled eggs?
Yes.
Okay. Done and done. Boys, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. That's BT. He's going to go down there and whip eggs at the Rizzuto show. Have somebody tape that. Tape it.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Like Facebook Live it or something.
Honestly, I'm going into the Lions Den this time.
You are.
And I'm a little bit nervous because I just looked this up. Apparently, they have tons of their listeners that are going to be there that are going to be throwing eggs at them. So you know what? I'll take them all down.
I wore a helmet onto their show once. Take the helmet.
I don't need a helmet.
Attaboy.
I don't need a damn helmet. I'll see you guys.
Honestly, I grabbed the helmet because it said 101 ESPN on it.
It's cool.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk to Alex Ferrario next. He's our Blues pregame, postgame host on the Blues Radio Network. We'll ask him about the Hub City situation.
With
Chris Ronge. I'm Anthony Salter. Brad Thompson on his way downtown to ruin the Rizzuto Show and the Rizzuto Show members' their lives.
Returning the favor.
Darn right.
When he ruined ours.
Turnabout
a couple weeks ago.
Turnabout is fair play.
I've heard that before.
Andrew Brent.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Alex Ferrario, our Blues pregame, postgame, intermission host on the Blues Radio Network here on 101 ESPN. Alex, sounds like the NHL is considering both hub cities to be in Toronto. I'm sorry, in Canada. Does that make sense? Are you hearing the same thing based on the fact that we're seeing the recent COVID spikes in cities such as Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, guys, it does make sense. And, you know, I know it, you look at it at first and you're thinking, well, why not Vegas? You know, Vegas makes so much sense. But with the spikes and everything, Canada is the one that seems like an obvious decision now because the low number of cases that are in Canada. But on top of it, they just seem to have the area positioned correctly. And we talked last week about all of this, guys, of how good Vancouver's initial proposal was of bringing them there. And Vancouver was one of those that felt like it was the ideal one. But then on top of that, Edmonton comes back with a nicer proposal. Toronto comes back with a nicer proposal. It just seems that it's working out in favor for the NHL to go about it this way. And, you know, look, a lot of people were saying that Vegas made sense because it financially was going to benefit them. They weren't going to have to spend as much money. You know, I heard some people saying that MGM was going to be free. A lot of those things weren't true. So Canada is just set up correctly right now for the NHL. The low cases in terms of the COVID cases, in terms of the Border Patrol, it just seems to work a little bit better for the NHL. And I think that's why both places have just jumped into position to help out the NHL.
Have you been to either place?
I have not. No, I've always. Okay. I was close to going with the team once to Edmonton a couple of years ago doing pre and post, but never had the opportunity to.
So what is the difficulty now in getting everybody up there? Obviously, some players are from there. They're from Canada, so they probably can move more freely within their own country and go to the spots they need to go to. But how difficult is it going to be for players in general who are here in the States to get where they need to be?
I don't know if it's going to be difficult necessarily, Raj, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Canada took away that 14-day quarantine that originally was there for anybody that was coming into Canada so that they could have those hub cities and host cities there. I think the difficult part in terms of getting people to Canada for the hub cities is going to be getting the agreed upon proposals on the phase 3 and phase 4 of training camps and the health protocols before the hub cities open up. And I know that's kind of being held up by the negotiations going on and really deciding what the hub cities are going to be before they can name those safety protocols. But as we've learned a couple of days ago as well, the CBA negotiations kind of are all tied into this. So in terms of getting the players to Canada, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be difficult. I just think it's everything that needs to be agreed upon is the difficult portion of it. You know, are families allowed to be there? What are the safety precautions if there are COVID cases that pop up within the teams? You know, what does the training camps look like? Because remember, they're doing 3 weeks of training camps in their own cities. So you're going to be bringing a lot of people back that aren't even back in their host cities yet for training camp. So I think there's still a lot to be agreed upon. And then once that comes, then it'll just be as simple as getting these guys to Canada.
So yesterday, Eric Engels, who writes for Sportsnet, or he's a reporter for Sportsnet, he said that he talked to a player, and obviously every player is different here, but that player believes a majority of the guys in the league, maybe about 75%, really don't want to do this, but they're going to do it anyway because of the culture of hockey where they feel like they need to power through. How accurate do you think that is? That 75% of the league is like, I don't want to do this, but I kind of have to, so I'm going to.
You know, first of all, I know Eric a little bit. I've spoke with him before at Enterprise Center, and I've interviewed him a couple times on pregames for Blues broadcasts. And I mean, the guy knows his stuff. Like, I by no means am sitting here thinking that, he's putting false information out there. It's just so hard for me to believe that a 75% number are these players in the NHL stating that they don't want to play anymore? I mean, just from the fact of some guys I've talked to within the Blues, they're all saying that, yeah, there are still some concerns, but we want to go out and play. I mean, even Ryan O'Reilly, who we had on This Week in Hockey last night, told Chris Kerber, like, look, at the end of the day, we want to go out there and see a champion crown. So 75% for me is just so hard to believe, but if Eric's putting it out there, I don't think I could disagree with it. Now, here's the caveat. When I was reading through some of those tweets that Eric Engels was putting out, you know, like you mentioned, Raj, you know, 75% of the players saying that they're not wanting to come back or it just doesn't make sense. I even think Jeremy Rutherford told us yesterday on Ribs and BK that a lot of the players he's talked to have stated, is it really worth it? But then Eric Engels went on with his tweet saying that he texted with one player and the player said, look, we're going to play no matter what because the financial luxury is there because basically the players are getting paid to go to these playoffs. So that format is in I guess the mind of the players, it's looking like, you know, yeah, the financial situations are hard right now. The safety precautions aren't out there, but at the end of the day, we want to go out there and play. So 75% is a high number. I don't know if I'm necessarily on board with that, but I think at the end of the day, the players do want to just come back and return to play.
Alex Ferrario, our Blues pre, post, and intermission host, joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. You mentioned Ryan O'Reilly was on your show last night with Chris Kerber. Ryan O'Reilly, today's the date that the Blues acquired him from the Buffalo Sabres. Better trade in Blues history, Ryan O'Reilly or Brett Hull?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one, Stolt. I'd have to still go with Brett Hull for how he changed the organization here. And, I mean, looking at the numbers that he put up, historic numbers in the NHL, goes down as one of the best players in NHL history. But he also didn't bring a Stanley Cup to St. Louis, whereas Ryan O'Reilly did that. I would have to say Brett Hull was the better trade. Now, if you change it a little bit, Stolt, and say the better steal, I think Ryan O'Reilly is that trade because if you look at the numbers produced from Patrick Berglund, Vladimir Sobotka, and Tage Thompson and those draft picks, I mean, Ryan O'Reilly is a guaranteed steal for Doug Armstrong. I'd say he's more of a steal than what Braden Schenn was when they traded Jory Laterra and the draft pick to Philadelphia. But if I'm putting the two against each other between Hull and O'Reilly, I'm still going to have to go Brett Hull with what he did for hockey in St. Louis because, you know, at the time they're going through the struggles of not making the playoffs and struggling to be an important sport in St. Louis for the way that the Cardinals were playing in the 80s. And the next thing you know, here comes Brett Hull in the 90s and just decides to tear up St. Louis. So I would say Brett Hull the better trade, but only a slight better trade than what Ryan O'Reilly was for that Blues team.
You know, I'm not so sure the Braden Schenn deal is as lopsided as people think because we lost a dealer.
That's true. I mean, that's very true. We don't know, you know, what lifestyle Jory Laterra was contributing to everybody in the NHL. Well, I guess we kind of do know the lifestyle.
Yeah, I think we do, don't we?
NHL right now. But, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, how much would you pay for a Coke dealer?
Right? I don't know.
I don't know, man. That's a really good... If I was into that sort of thing, I could probably tell you. But I don't really know how valuable it is.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess to Philadelphia, it was valued as a Braden Schenn, a guy who is that important to St. Louis.
I don't know if they knew he was doing that, Alex, but,
Yeah, probably
maybe.
Not. I guess to somebody he was probably pretty valuable.
Well, the guy who made the trade isn't with the team anymore, yeah. So maybe that's some conspiracy theory for you guys.
Good thinking. Alex, you know, you think about that trade and the Schenn trade, obviously, and everything that happened prior to last season. And I guess the weight of half of century would probably answer this question. But did you ever think it was going to turn into what it did? You know, even though you've got O'Reilly saying the goal is to win a Stanley Cup, that's true for everybody. Anybody that gets traded somewhere is going to tell his new team, we want to win the whole thing. But did you ever really think it was going to happen the way it did?
No, not at all. I still remember the day that the Blues traded for Ryan Miller. I was at that press conference when they acquired him from Buffalo. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I'm here to win a Stanley Cup. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, hell yeah, goaltender, Stanley Cup, why not? And then we all know what happened with Ryan Miller in St. Louis. When Ryan O'Reilly was traded here, I knew that they got a legit centerman, but I also didn't expect them to have a guy who was a top-line centerman, a guy who could be a defensive leader on your team, and also a guy who's a leader in the locker room. Because, I mean, you saw the words that he said in Buffalo that he lost the game of hockey. You're thinking, okay, well, what the hell? But I will say it felt like it was a big enough move for Doug Armstrong to kind of turn the needle towards the Stanley Cup. I didn't think that move would be the reason they won the Stanley Cup, which you could argue wasn't the reason, because Binnington was just as much of a reason, Craig Berube just as much of a reason. But to me, I just thought that the Ryan O'Reilly deal was going to be another trade that the Blues made where the salary cap became okay, you got to get rid of this guy. But just the first few months of him in St. Louis, and even that season, you know, they were terrible. Ryan O'Reilly was like the only bright spot on that team. You found somebody who could play with Vladimir Tarasenko for a short amount of time. You found somebody that made other players better. And when you saw O'Reilly on the ice at practices and he was the last one coming off, you're thinking, okay, this guy's going to be influential to this team. So now, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but you can tell right now that that guy has been so influential to this team. But at the time, I just thought it was another trade by Doug Armstrong.
Alex, good stuff as always, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, I loved it as always, and hopefully we're continuing to get good news for hockey and baseball to get back so we can make July a better month than June was.
Absolutely. Well said. All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Take care, guys.
That's Alex Ferrario, Blues Radio Network here on 101 ESPN. Revisiting one of the bigger topics NHL-wise, ESPN's reporting that the two hub cities likely to come from Canada because of the recent spike in COVID cases in the Las Vegas area. Las Vegas was one of those cities that Ronge 2 weeks ago, a lot of people thought was a slam dunk to be at least one of those host cities.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But because of what's happened in that region of the country out west, they're having a lot of difficulty. They're having a lot of difficulty in the south and the southeast. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to, I mean, really, to have a hub city in any of those areas. Canada's doing better than we are. I mean, the numbers are just doing better. And if the league wants to make this work, any of these leagues want to make it work, and this is the best bet, I trust their judgment on it. I trust the NHL that they're going to find a place where they feel like they can go, where the risk is not going to be zero. And it may not even be minimal, but it can be as small as possible if they're playing in those two markets. That's what it sounds like to me, and I have to hope that works out.
It's almost responsible for the NHL to look at the situation and say, we've got a hot spot in Las Vegas. There's no hot spots, at least right now, in Canada. We need two hub cities. You could have the two hub cities be in Toronto and Edmonton and reduce the risk of spreading the virus or contracting the virus more, and thus spreading it between the teams that are in the postseason right now. So it's responsible for the NHL to look at Canada.
There's a checklist of things that have to happen here. One is to pick the right locations to do this, and hopefully those are the two right locations. But the next step on that checklist, and I guess I'm combining a bunch of steps into one, is for all of the players and people involved to adhere to whatever they're told to do. Like, I know there's this pushback whenever people are told to do something. They don't like being told to do things. But if you're going to sign up to do this and you're a player, man, you've got to be on board. And you, whatever protocols they give you, they say, look, you can't go out. You can't go to bars. Can't go to restaurants. Can't go do this. Sorry, it sucks. But if you want to play, this is what you have to do. Then you got to stick to it. And I hope all of these players do. I mentioned that Engel's report from yesterday. And this is one of the tweets he got from another player in the league. And the player said this: everyone's going to play. No one is going to opt out. Playoff bonus will be higher than ever. That's free money if we play. Hockey is a different culture than the other sports. No one is opting out. So there might be a lot of guys who are really concerned for multiple reasons, themselves, their families, getting sick, giving the illness to somebody else. They don't want that to happen, but it sounds like they're all going to power through. So if they're going to power through and they're going to have this attitude, the attitude also has to be, well, I'll do whatever it takes to be as safe as possible to make sure this season doesn't get canceled again or postponed again.
I did witness what happened with the Blues championship parade. So I'm not naive in this regard, but
right,
you know, it might be an easier sell, what you're talking about, getting everybody on board, stay in the hub city, all that. It might be an easier sell to the NHL and the NBA because they are fighting for a championship.
Right.
And it's not like Major League Baseball that hadn't started their season.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NHL and the NBA. It's a continuation of playing. You almost got through all of your season,
right?
The NBA and the NHL. So nobody's going to question the Stanley Cup winner this year or the NBA Finals winner this year like you would for baseball. It's like, 60 games, whatever. It might be an easier sell that it's the postseason and you have a legitimate championship on the line. Hey, stay in the hub city or stay in the hub hotel or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. And when you've got 30 teams that some of them know we're probably not going to win a World Series, I'm sure they're totally aware of it. I mean, I bet you go into the regular season always thinking you have an opportunity. But in the back of your mind, I think you know what your team looks like. I think most guys do. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's different for those teams like the Pirates, who are probably not going to do anything, even though it's 60 games, right? Only 60?
Right.
So, screw it. I'm just going to have some fun for 2 months. I could see that happening.
I'm a big leaguer. Can we discuss the important aspect of this? In about a month and a half, I've got a trip booked for Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a bad idea? Is this going to happen?
Oh, you're fine.
A hell of a deal.
Hey, just, get yourself some antibodies.
What did I tell you? Wear yourself a mask. Wash your hands. Exactly. Use protection.
Okay.
Wash your hands. Don't touch your face.
I feel like I'm screwed.
Nah, you're fine. That's me, Chris Ron, Jim Anthony Stalter. BT's on his way downtown to screw up one of the Rizzuto show's events.
Like he screwed up ours.
Like Rizzuto screwed up ours, or tried to screw up ours. I mean, we were focused that day.
Yeah, we powered through, yeah. I think.
That was when we thought we were going to have baseball. Remember? That was a good day downtown but at the social bar.
We did have baseball today.
But remember, we thought there was going to be an agreement.
Yeah.
It was all good.
Yeah.
And then the players' union said, we're out.
Anthony, we have baseball coming.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Would you please stop being so negative?
I'm not, Janet.
Yeah, I feel like you are.
I'm not trying to be negative.
We got it's baseball fine. Coming.
Yes, we do.
Probably.
Yeah, well, no,
maybe.
We do. No, we do. We do. All right, let's talk about it. Is there any way another league can pull off the NBA's Biodome? Because after reading what Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, said about basically the setup in Orlando, Raj, I think this is the best and only way. But we'll talk about it next year on 101 ESPN.